Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal way back from the beginning. A trusted source for the news. 7th at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7th at Hallis in your ears, you.
Since Bobby Ingram. Ladies and gentlemen, man, what is going on? It is 79th and Hallis, episode 154, man. It is your boy, Scott and Flows. You know where to follow us on all social media platforms, at Barber Chair Scott, at Flows Andolini, at 79th and Hallis, at BarberChairNet, and of course, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarberChairNetwork. Shout out to everybody who watched all the I'm Not Gonna Hold You clips on there that I uploaded almost a week ago, because I knew I was going to be out of the country, man. But we are here. We're live in London, man. It is 10:30 at night in London, which means it is only, what, 3:30?
No, it is
4:30 in Chicago, 5:30 in New York,
right,
and 2:30 in Los Angeles. So
right.
By the time y'all get this tonight, it'll still be regular time for y'all. You know what I'm saying? Me and my brother, we are 5 hours away from having to go to Heathrow Airport so we can get back to the States. Before we get to the actual game, man, how'd you like your first trip out the country, London. How was it these 4 days we was out here?
It was good. It was. I would say I really like London. I especially like the London countryside. And I wish I spent more time in the countryside because I don't even know if you call it downtown, but whatever Big Ben is,
Central London.
Yeah. It's fine. It's cool. Of course, it probably has more tourists than the countryside. But what I really enjoy is being away from it all. And I think it comes from the fact that me and you grew up in the third biggest city in the U.S.
Yeah.
Amongst the biggest cities in the world. And we're used to being in the center of everything. Sometimes I just like to get away from it. And So when we went out to England and got to see the Bears practice, it just was like, oh, this is so relaxing.
It was nice and peaceful.
Right.
Where United Kingdom.
So I think if I were to come back here, let's say there's another game here or some shit, I'm just out here, I would probably go to the countryside more. That just seems like the place for me. But outside of the countryside and the views and everything, it was a dope game. It's a really good game. It's good for them to come home with the victory because I already had to deal with Ohio State losing, which I didn't get to see because the game didn't end till like 3 a.m. I was asleep by midnight, 1 a.m. And it didn't start, I don't think, until 12:30. So the fact that I got to at least see one team win a dub was pretty dope.
Yeah, man, I thoroughly enjoyed my first trip out here. I think I was nervous getting ready to come out. I've never been outside the country before. I didn't know what the fuck to expect. Shout out to people who actually prepared me for the trip as much as possible. Shout out to YouTube. I watched a lot of YouTube. Shout out to Pavi. Shout out to Dante, who we just got up with just a couple. Like 30 minutes ago, we had some vintage drinks with the homie Dante. And that was a dope thing about this trip, too. Like, when we was walking out of Nando's, I'm like, damn, I'm out here in London with my brother and my homie. Like, three Chicago niggas, we out here in fucking England. And, we've been with Pavi every day the last couple days. And I was like, damn, like, it's my brother out here, and I've known Pavi for, we've known Pavi for what, almost 30 years now at this point? About 28, 26 years? Almost 30 years now. And there was a moment that we was at the bar yesterday, and it was me, you, and Pat. And I was like, damn, like, I'm out here in London with my brother and my brother. Like, this shit's fun. So, like, I think it was dope because, we saw everything we wanted to see. Like, of course, there was two things we didn't get to see. You wanted to go to the British Museum.
Right.
I wanted to go to Richmond where they shoot Ted Lasso. But the schedule was just, like, crazy yesterday.
Right.
We weren't able to get it done. But I've seen that. We saw everything else we needed to see. We had good food. Yeah, good drink, and it was just a real, real good time. My body is extremely tired, and I cannot wait to lay in my actual bed, in about, what, probably 20 hours, some shit like that.
Yeah.
Right, by the time we get back to Chicago, back to the crib, it'll probably be 5:30.
Right.
Central time. Right. So, about 24 hours from now.
Well, 24 hours from now would be 10 p.m. on Monday. We'll be home already.
It's 5:30 in Chicago. Well, it's 4:30 in Chicago.
4:30, oh, wow.
So, yeah, basically 24 hours from now.
This math seems wrong.
No, because right now it's 4:30 in Chicago. So, So 24 hours from now, it'll still be 4:30 in Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it seems confusing.
How many? So let's see. It's 10. Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm going off Chicago time, not London. Even if you go 24 hours, right? It's 10:30 in London right now. 24 hours from now, it'll still be 10:30 in London right now. So it'll be 4:30 in Chicago. Right. Got it. Right. So that'd be cool. But I just really, really enjoyed myself. I had a blast. And sometimes I do this thing where I'll go out on trips and I get tired and then I don't want to do shit. And then I'll be wasting time. I was like, I don't give a fuck how tired I am, how much my legs hurt, how much my knees hurt. My back spasms decided, you know what, Scott? We're going to let you live these first 2 days. We're going to be a pain in your fucking ass the last two. But I got through the back spasms and we had a super random trip right on the way back from the game. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself. But I think the best part of it was the actual game. And I say that because I don't know about you, but I was sitting there like, bro, think about in the 10 years that we've been doing this podcast.
Right.
When we started this podcast, we were just like, oh, we really just started because we weren't living together no more.
Right.
And we needed a way to talk about the Bears.
Right.
And then now, if you look at it later, now we're in my fourth season, your fifth season, covering the team. We're in London, covering the Bears. And it even kind of hit me when we was on practice, at practice on Thursday. And you walk by, you know, you say what up to Rome, he say what up to you. I'm like, damn, the players know us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So this little shit like that just kind of hit me. And then, you know, seats we had were amazing. We were cold as fuck because there is no fucking roof on Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And I got to give a shout out to Tottenham. Amazing stadium. Now, we know it's one of the youngest soccer stadiums in the Premier League right now. The Bears were actually the first NFL team to play at Tottenham Stadium. They played the Raiders, the game they lost, the Chase Daniel game. And the Bears were the first NFL team, period, to play in London.
Right.
And we all know Bears fans are global.
Right.
But it didn't really hit me till today how many. It was a fucking home game. It was 95-98% Bears fans. Like, when the Jaguars came out, they got booed. Everything was just, you know. I love how, since it was the Bears' home game, they had the same video graphics from Soldier Field. After every score, they playing Bear Down Chicago Bears. A Green Bay Sucks chant broke out at the end of the game. And then on the way home, on the way back to the hotel, we were on a train with a number of Bears fans.
Right.
We just came back from this nice little bar on the corner by our hotel. Me and Dante, the only reason Joe didn't get his drink paid for because he was still on the way to join us. We got our drinks paid for because we were Bears fans. And I just love that. As much as Bears fans get on my fucking nerves, I love the community of the Bears fans at the same time. Because we all just want this team to win. And I think it was a great game because Caleb was incredible. Like, Caleb, I'm looking at it right now. Caleb was 23-29, 226 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. And it should have been 5 touchdowns. Like, you tweeted this in the game. The Bears have never had a quarterback like this.
Right.
And to you, what's the biggest difference quarterback-wise from this time a year ago? This time a year ago, the Bears were 1-5
right
after 6 games. You know what I'm saying? Justin had that one good game against Washington, but remember he also blew the Denver game after starting so high.
Right.
What's like the biggest thing that kind of sticks that you think is different from this time last year?
Well, obviously, the quarterback situation is the biggest thing. But what I think makes it such a turnaround is that when I look at the play of Caleb Williams, I look at the play of Justin Fields, it's almost night and day. Where Justin didn't trust his receivers, Caleb trusted his receivers. Where Justin would try not to put the ball in harm's way or put it in danger, Caleb doesn't mind putting it in danger. When Justin would have an interception, that's probably the last you're going to see of him throwing for 70% of the game. Caleb went right back to it.
Yeah.
And then just the know-how of how to play the position of quarterback, where it's reading the defense, it's taking what they give you, it's putting the ball in positions where only your receiver can get to it, it's trusting that your skill player will make a play on the ball. And that's what's really night and day with him. And as much as I respect Justin, I enjoyed his time here in Chicago, even though there wasn't much success on the season, it is night and day.
Yeah.
Caleb is, and it might hurt Bears fans to hear this, but Caleb is leagues above Justin Fields is a passer.
Yeah.
Justin Fields is a spectacular athlete, and he led some really exciting games. But what you didn't see from him was consistently passing the ball downfield, consistently getting the man open, manipulating the defense with your eyes and with your feet, consistent footwork, putting the ball in tight spots, whether that's short, intermediate, or long. And yeah, I don't think we can lie to ourselves and act like this is similar.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
Yeah.
And that for me is just an incredible thing to see. It makes me super happy to watch it. It's kind of unreal. You know, I tweeted from my personal page that, man, God gave us a quarterback. And though I am media, I never can get rid of the fan inside of me.
Yeah.
And I just feel very happy to watch it. And Caleb has just gotten better and better and better and better. And I look forward to him getting definitely Rookie of the Week.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can get up in the runnings for Player of the Week. I know we had
he's back in the Rookie of the Year conversation.
Right.
Like,
right.
Jaden Daniels got off to a really good start.
Right.
But, yeah, he's back. Even Ian Rapoport tweeted today. Ian Rapoport was like, I think we need to reconsider these Rookie of the Year things already. Like,
right.
Like, he's showing you why he was the number one draft pick.
Right. You know, and I mean, he's also leading rookies in passing touchdowns right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I'm thoroughly excited to watch him for the rest of the season. And, yeah, it's night and day. And you've never seen – the Bears fans have never seen this level of QB play. Yeah. Like, sure, we've seen a 6-touchdown game from Mitch, but we know what that was.
It was the worst defense you ever seen in your life.
It wasn't even that. It was just stat padding. It was stat padding to get those touchdowns.
Did Justin ever have a game? I think the closest probably be the Washington game last
year. Right.
It would have been Denver if they'd have kept the score, if they'd have won and he didn't throw that earth-shattering interception at the end. I think, too, man, what kind of stands out about it, and I think even from the team perspective, you know what's dope? That DJ, first of all, shout out to DJ. DJ pulled up to the game smoking a cigar. On some red Auerbach shit before the game started. And he, Keenan Allen said that he told him right before they went out, he said, yo, check this crowd out. This is a home game for us. Because Keenan don't know how Bears fans get down. Right. And Keenan even said that in his post-game interview. He said, I've never been on a team where the fans travel like this. Because he played for the fucking Chargers. They're the fifth most important team in Los Angeles. The Angels are more important than the Chargers are in Los Angeles. So Keenan ain't never seen none shit like this. And I think what's also dope is you see Caleb. Well, I told you and Dante this when we was at the bar. Caleb's confidence is getting higher. So now when it comes for the gauntlet of hell, which I like to call it, where you've got all six games against your division, and you got Seattle sprinkled in, you got San Francisco sprinkled in, he's going to be more prepared. Yes, he's going to play better defenses, but he knows. He was so upset talking about the DJ miss. He's supposed to have, if he'd hit that and they didn't take back the other DJ, he'd have 6 touchdowns today.
Correct.
Like, and that's the thing that, like, and I said this on the show on Wednesday. There's 2 things I said on the show on Wednesday that came true. One, I said Keenan Allen was going to have the big game because Romo already had a big game in Indianapolis. Last week was DJ's big game. I'm like, right. Keenan's going to have a big game. And then two, Caleb in his time with the Bears always started slow. Well, OTAs, rookie camp, mini camp, training camp. Same thing here. This dude is on pace. God willing, he stays healthy. He's going to get 30 touchdowns.
Right.
He's going to get 4,000 yards. Like, he's breaking records already, and it's only 6 weeks in.
Right.
And what I love the most was after he threw the interception, and I got to give props to Shane Waldron for this, they kept throwing the ball.
Right.
My fear was Shane Waldron was just going to keep running.
Right.
Kept throwing the ball. And that also shows you the difference. Remember Luke Getsy last year, if Justin made a mistake, they stopped throwing the ball.
Right.
And that shows you the faith. And I think that even the team knows Caleb Nice.
Right.
And even when you saw, you know, DJ make a joke, oh, Caleb's a little sassy this week, a little bossy. But he says, like, first he was like, oh, that's a little bro. You ain't finna be talking to me like that. But he's like, but then I listen because he knows Caleb's that guy.
Right.
And I think that's the thing, too. Like, I saw some Bears fans, I'm not gonna say, oh, I saw a couple like, well, you know, we still got way too, they play good teams. I don't want to hear that. And the reason I want to hear that is because this team won 7 games last year.
Right.
This team in the playoffs since fucking 4 or 5 seasons ago.
Right.
It's baby steps. You had the weakest strength of schedule, and honestly, it's actually changed. That's why I hate the strength of schedule conversation before the season starts. You never know who's going to be good or not, because now the Bears have the toughest strength of schedule
right. For
the rest of the year. And I just think there's something that was great. What did you love from Shane Waldron? Because I felt he was dialing up today.
I think it was a good blend of pass and run, and it was just not as predictable as he normally did. I think he caught in one play where I was like, I think this is a screen, and it became a screen. it felt like the first couple of weeks he struggled with that lack of that sheer amount of predictability. Whereas in this game, I feel like he used all of his options. He got DeAndre Swift going, and he stayed with DeAndre Swift. Roshan only got, I want to say, 5 carries, nothing crazy. Roshan got a few tough yards. Roshan got a few catches. But he stuck with the hot hand. And then he allowed that, you know, of course, it's on the quarterback to spread the ball around. But he also schemed up plays to make sure players got the ball. Keenan Allen was talking
about... It says Tyson Bajan at 3. When the fuck Tyson Bajan played today?
He got in it toward the end of the game.
Oh, that tells you I wasn't paying attention.
What did it say?
He got 3 carries. For negative 3 yards. But
yeah, those were the kneels.
The kneel. Okay, I didn't know he was kneeling.
Yeah, those were the kneels. Okay. Who else would kneel?
I thought K-Well, bro.
No. And so, yeah, Ken Allen, he was talking about, you know, being frustrated, not getting the ball. What does he do? Schemes him to get the ball open. Puts an emphasis on it. You know, saying, yeah, we're going to go to Keenan. And I think that's a dope thing to do. It shows you how much you respect your players. And then also, I didn't give up on Shane Waldron in the first place anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, we'll just have to see what he does, you know, how good he gets at getting some plays in. But it's too early for me to say, oh, this is terrible, fire him. Oh, man, Seattle fans are right. And I never trusted what I heard from Seattle fans in the first place.
It wasn't even just, it was Jason. He was a rookie. You ain't DK Metcalf vision.
And on top of that, it's, I have to see for myself.
Yeah.
Because, sure, you have the word of Seahawks fans. Oh, you're going to end up hating him. But they're going to say that about every single coach and play caller. You're going to hate him. Even though Geno Smith had his best year as a player, because he ain't doing that this year.
No.
He ain't doing that this year at all. He ain't do it last year.
He ain't do it. Shane Walsh was there last year, right?
Last year's true. Huh? But I think so.
Last year was better than this year, though.
Right. And he didn't do what he's doing now is a far cry from what he was doing the past two seasons. Last year was okay. The year before that was great from Geno. And so I didn't take it as word and bond or of scripture because I'm like, well, he still had a good game here and here. So, you know, it's just I took things with a grain of salt. But overall, man, I'm happy with what I see. I'm so glad it's going into the bye week because,
2 weeks. And by the way, neither one of us will be any games to the Patriots game.
Right.
Next week's the bye week. The week after that is the Commanders game, but it's my birthday weekend. So I'll be in Chicago having fun. And then the week after that is Arizona. I was going to go, but price is a little too pricey for your boy. Just be spending one day in Arizona. So we will be back on November 10th, which is the last game of the 5-game easy streak. And then November 17th, man, is where this season really starts. Green Bay at the crib. But I want to talk about Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus been getting a lot of shit. But he first 3-game win streak in Flus' career.
Right.
Got to give Flus some love for that. The team is 4-2 at the bye. You know what I'm saying? They could be 5-1 if they actually did what they need to do to win that fucking Indianapolis game. But what do you think about Flus 6 games in? Are you convinced that he's a good coach yet? Like, you know, are you still just not sold? Like, what's your overall thoughts on Flus? Because I'm still kind of mixed bag on Flus a little bit.
I'm definitely mixed bag on Flus. I still don't believe he's going to be the coach that will take them to consistent contention. I don't believe that. And I haven't seen enough from him to believe that he can. Now, I do like what him and Eric Washington are doing on defense. Obviously, him and Pose did a solid job so far of getting Shane Waldron as offensive coordinator. But I haven't seen it yet. I have not seen that factor that makes me think this is going to be the guy. For me, he feels like Ricky Renteria on the Cubs.
Yes.
He's a stepping stone to get a better coach in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, of course,
Dennis Savard on the Blackhawks for Coach Q game.
You know what I'm saying? Now, it's could be wrong, but I do not think the promised land is going to be reached with him.
Yeah.
And, of course, this is just personal belief. I can't give you a concrete thing. I mean, I think he struggles with challenges. Challenges, obviously. He had a challenge he could have made today. He didn't make today. I forgot to ask him about that. Personnel issues that he struggles with, preparation, lack of discipline. Those are very much struggles that have not been ironed out in the 3 years that he's been here. They went off to a slow start today. Had some discipline issues in the first couple of series. And it's just been a consistent theme. So I don't believe in him yet. I think a good coach shows you who they are in a consistent manner. You can get yourself 1 year of, well, we'll see. But then the second and third year, I kind of want to know
who you are.
Who you are.
I think that I think you make good points. I do think though he's doing a good job as far as keeping his job though, because they're putting up wins. And I think whatever you want to say about Flus, he dominates his side of the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like as far as when it comes to the defense being ready and things like that, he knows what he needs to do. That he has a good game plan. And honestly, man, I know Bears fans don't like to hear it. The players love Flus.
Right.
The players love Flus. As much as he might come off as a corny TV dad, and he has a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Like not corny quotes, cliches. And they love him. And I think unless this season just completely falls on his head, he's going to be the head coach next year. And Cap kind of let it slip that he only has 1 year left on his contract, which we had no idea because, you know, the Bears don't be giving our contract details no more. They didn't tell us how you know, what him or Ryan Poehler signed for. So apparently he has 1 more year. So I hope he's the guy because you don't want to keep doing coach reshuffling.
Right.
You know, so I hope that he is the guy. I'm definitely way more impressed with Shane Waldron than I have been with Eberflus. I still think he probably should have challenged that one catch by Brian Thomas Jr. early in the game. Besides that, I haven't really had no complaints. But we're really going to find out what Coach Flus is when the gauntlet of hell comes up. And you're going, every coach in the NFC North is better than you. Dan Campbell's a better coach than you. Matt LaFleur is damn sure a better coach than you. Right. I've been preaching this man's praises for the last couple years. Kevin O'Connell is a really good fucking coach.
Right.
I've been preaching that for a minute. Kevin O'Connell, you're the fourth best coach in your division.
Right.
So all those games are going to be close. Your decision-making is going to be the thing that separates it. That's what we're really, really going to find out what the difference is between them two, man. Going to the defense, this is why I think the defense is great. By the way, there's no better time for the bye week. Jaquan Brisker did not make the trip. He had a concussion. Shout out to Elijah Hicks. Balled out in his absence. Kyler Gordon got hurt. Was in the third quarter? It was third quarter he got hurt. It was beginning of third quarter he got hurt. Hamstring injury. So, you know, you can't play with hamstrings. Right. But it's 14 days. Hopefully he'll be ready for the Commanders game. Tyree Stevenson had a calf injury. You got to be very, very careful with calf injuries.
Because
calves can be Achilles very, very quickly. Ask KD. So hopefully these 2 weeks have that. But the defense, man, Kevin Byard, you will be remembered as a Bears legend. With Montez. Tez quietly got like 4 sacks.
Right.
And nobody saw him by. And that just shows you how good the defensive line has been. DeMarcus Walker told us in training camp, I wasn't healthy last year. That's why we wasn't doing shit.
Right.
He's playing well.
He is.
DeMarcus is balling.
He is.
Gervon, balling. Austin Booker playing really, really well. And it just feels like it's kind of like a defensive line by committee a little bit.
Right.
Do I think they need another dog on the other end? For sure. But they're playing good. Best linebacker tandem in the league. TJ balling. You know, Tremaine Edmonds balling.
Right.
And so I really love how this defense is going and the fact they know they got points behind them.
Right.
I think it's going to make them better.
Yeah, I agree. I would never fail to mention that Javon Dexter is my boy Steve's sworn nemesis. But I do think this is definitely D-line by committee. Obviously, you have to stand out Montez Sweat, but people are coming up there and playing a good role. I mean, Gervon Dexter has like 5 sacks in 6 games at this point. DeMarcus Walker has played well. I mean, Coward got a sack today. It was really a next man up of who's trying to fight, and it shows the Bears have depth. And if it's one thing the Bears, even especially the years when they were good, struggled with, is that when one player was out, it was not a next man up situation.
Yeah.
It was, we're about to struggle because we don't have our star at this position. And I'm impressed by the fact that it's plug and play so far. Like Elijah Hicks came in and it didn't look like it missed a beat on off defensively.
Yeah.
And then you had was it Blackwell?
Yeah, Blackwell. Josh
Blackwell came here, got a pick. It did not look like they were missing a beat. And to me, that is the sign of a good coordinator, a good defensive scheme that allows you to, of course. When push comes to shove, when it is game time and you're in the playoffs, you're going to need those stars because the best of the best will pick on those people who are not where they're supposed to be. But when it comes to those regular season games, this is where your depth really comes into play. So it allows your players who are your stars to rest up when they're injured rather than have to be facing it. That way, when they come to the end of the season, they are healthy enough to continue down for those tough games.
Shout out to In Shape Deacon Palmer, a.k.a. Eric Washington.
That's hilarious. But And so, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing about Kyler Gordon. You know, don't have any updates on him so far. He's in the locker room, walking around, looks fine.
With his house start
coat. His house start coat. He was walking around. He looked fine. And, I saw Tyree Stevenson in there as well, right next to him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on with the team health-wise because, I mean, how many days is that consecutively? Is it a full week off?
I mean, 14 days to a game, but you got 10 games off for the next practice.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and this is what Flutes is talking about. This is the chance to get your mind and your body right. It's a chance for you to rest up, take this time to yourself, heal your body. Don't push it. Allow your body to repair itself and then come out in the practice and get ready. So, the Bears are putting themselves in a good position right now. And I don't remember what our prediction was up until this point.
I had 10-7. Are you talking in general?
Up until this point.
I think we had the same record.
I think we are right on the money.
Yeah, I think we all had 4-2. We had 5-1. I think we all had 4-2.
Yeah, I think we're right on the money with where we expected them to be.
Yeah. As far as like heading into the break, I think they're in a good spot. Give them time to relax. That Commanders game is going to be massive.
Right.
You know the Commanders lost today to the Ravens. They put up a good fight. I think Jaden Daniels had another good game. I thought they were going to get the ass kicked, but Jaden had a good game. If it wasn't for Cowboys Niners being Sunday Night Football next week, 2 weeks, I thought it would get flexed. But they're not going to flex out one of the greatest rivalries in NFL history. It's just not going to do it.
Right.
But it's going to be a fun game. And I think that it's going to be a test for Jaden Daniels because he's never played the offense. I mean, played defense like the Bears defense. He has yet to play the defense like the Bears defense. And also, people forget because Jaden's been so good, that fucking Commanders defense stinks.
Yeah.
That secondary is ass.
Right.
And we all know Caleb got a little crazy on him. You think Caleb don't hear the things these niggas are saying? You think Caleb from D.C., you think he don't want to go home and show out for niggas? That's why I think it's going to be a good game. But I think these next three with the Commanders, you got the Cardinals, who are fucking terrible. And you got the Patriots. Even though Drake May had 3 touchdowns in his debut, the nigga went 18-33. That's not cool. That's not good. You should beat them niggas. Like, I think 5-1 in the 5 stretch we're talking about is good. And then that leaves you pretty much with a really good record heading into these last 8. And now you got a chance because you're going to win some games you ain't got no. You really got to go 500, and you got 10 wins. And so I think that's be the best for them. So I'm satisfied, man. There's a lot more work to do. And, you know, you can really see how good this team is against the actual elites of the division. But I think there's one question that's already been answered. I think Caleb's the one. I don't think there's any question about that.
There's no doubt. What else do you want to see?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to want to see the sustain for the year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll go through a period where he'll have a slump.
Yeah.
But there are certain players that just look like that it factor from the go.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? I'm just going to let the fan out for a little bit. This is the difference between him and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels has put together, I think, one really good game in the NFL. The rest was solid.
Yeah.
Today was solid. It was cool. I think the pass he had on fourth down to Scary Terry was great. The Ohio State University. It was a really
good wide receiver you.
Wide receiver you. Jeremiah Smith. I'm so sorry we lost that game. Thankfully, we're only number 6. And there's 12 spots in the college.
I thought the new thing came out Miami was 6.
No. The Ohio State is number 6. I might remember 4.
I think y'all 4.
Well, maybe 4.
I just got the new poll texting me not too long ago.
Okay, I see. No,
y'all
are
4.
Right. We're 4.
Texas 1, Oregon 2, Penn State 3.
So if this was the old CFP, we'd 6. Still be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And thankfully, our record, we're playing nothing but trash the rest of the season. So, oh my God, I can't wait till we smoke Michigan.
Didn't y'all just lose that game because of bad time management?
Yeah. Yeah. We were driving, and then at least from what I saw, Will Howard stepped out of bounds thinking he had a second left to get a field goal, but it was actually just it because we would have got the field goal. We would have won. We probably would have jumped to number 1. Oregon looks good. Dylan Gabriel is a trick-off king, but he looks good randomly. And so, I say all that to say, Jeremiah Smith, I'm sorry you have to go through that, but Ohio State is wide receiver you. Jaden Daniels looked solid today. The fourth down pass, Scary Terry, was put in a great spot. The rest of it, I'm just not impressed by him. Okay. That was extreme. I am impressed by him. I'm not wild by him.
You're not wild by
him. I'm not wild talking.
That's because the national media is doing a lot.
Yeah, and it's to the point that I like. For instance, and I this is the problem with national media. It's not because they're national media. It's that you cannot watch all of these games.
Yeah.
It is impossible. I don't care if you're Scott Hansen. Actually, Scott Hansen may be the only person qualified to say, "Yeah, I saw a good chunk of this game," but even he only sees moments of the game. When you watch the games in their totality, because especially on Mondays for me, Mondays is a slow day when I teach. Those days, typically every class gets a journal.
Yeah.
And so during the class, I'm not actively teaching.
Monday, I watch highlights and shit like that.
And so what I do when they're teaching, I walk around, make sure they're doing their work, their cell phones are gone, put up, and they're working on their things. And so I don't have to teach it. So what do? I put the highlights up. I mean, I put the full game up, no sound, and I check in on it.
You watched all 22, or you just...
No, I watch all 22. I check in on it, take a peek, and I walk back around, see what's going on, check in on it. And typically, on Monday, I can watch an entire game. It's going to take most of the day, because I have to watch students, and I probably watch a good chunk during my lunch. But I can watch a whole game sometimes, too. I've called three at times when I've had a really slow day.
That's crazy.
And I've watched Jaden Daniels' games. I watched the game he had on national television. That was his best game.
The game against Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah. He was just in the zone. He couldn't miss. I only think he missed two passes. The game since then has been a touchdown interception, a touchdown interception. He's just a regular rookie.
Yeah.
Today was a solid game. I don't see wow. Oh my God. Whereas today, last week, good. I said wow.
Yeah.
I said that is crazy. Yeah. And Caleb just looked like I'm not a rookie. I know what I'm doing. And so I would love to. I hope. I wish I had a chance to go up to Hallis Hall this week. And just
They ain't got nothing this week.
Next week. And just talk to him about the speed of the game. Because if you compare his first 2 weeks, the game looked very fast.
Yeah.
He was not comfortable. Yeah. Since then, it looks like he's comfortable. And it's no shock that offensive line play has improved in
since then. It's no shock that the offensive line play is better.
Matt Pryor came in. He's been night and day from Nate Davis. And Nate Davis will be out of a job. I don't know if he'll be able to stay in the league past this. Because coaches will see, I can't depend upon you.
Mike Vrabel said that.
Right.
Before the Bears.
I can't depend on you.
Yeah.
And so Matt Pryor comes in, and Matt Pryor is not good.
No.
But Matt Pryor is a good enough adjustment, and he's consistently there, that it's like, this is better.
Yeah.
And then Tevin Jenkins, I thought, we're talking about the line. Tevin Jenkins had a bounce back in the second half.
Yeah.
Coleman Shelton quietly has been putting together a good game in the center.
Yeah, I think they're still going to move when Ryan Bates gets off.
But he's quietly had a good game as a center. Darnell Wright had one bad play, has looked good. Braxton Jones, quietly having a good season, probably the only good season out of that entire line.
Yeah.
And so I think about the totality of all of those things, and I see what Caleb's doing and how his play has improved, and since then, he's the wow factor that I see.
Yeah.
Now, I'm interested to watch Drake May's game. People say, he was throwing some rookie passes, but he was throwing some velocity. And so I say all that to say, I said I want to get my fan back. Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback. I think Jaden Daniels will have a good career.
Yeah.
I think he remains the starter. But I do not think he can do passing what Caleb does.
Yeah, he's not great.
He is not great. Yeah. I think he's good. I think the totality of his game, it's like as a passer. As a player, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson on equal levels as players.
As a player, Lamar Jackson is a better player than Joe Burrow.
Right.
Joe Burrow is a better passer. Than
I agree.
Ball.
As a player, Lamar Jackson is very near to Patrick Mahomes' ability.
Yeah.
But as a passer, hell no.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. As a passer, no.
Yeah.
And as of right now, the NFL has not figured out, football has not figured out, how to use a player like Lamar Jackson when it matters.
Yeah.
In the regular season, you can do it. In the playoffs, it gets shut down. And that's when you need a passer, a pure passer, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. And that's why I'm concerned about Jaden Daniels and what he will do with his career, because the NFL, nobody has figured out how to use...
The way he plays is like Lamar Jackson light.
Exactly. Nobody has figured out how to use that type of player.
50% of Lamar Jackson's talent away, it would be Jaden Daniels.
Right. And that's the NFL has not figured out how to use that.
Yeah.
That being said, the NBA at one point said that a 3-point shooting team would never win a championship, and now they all shoot 3 points.
Yeah.
And so eventually someone will figure it out. And maybe Jaden Daniels is the player and that's the team that does figure it out. I'm not 100% sure.
And also too, like, people put too much dip on that shit. Like, I saw a lot of Commanders fans talking shit, and it's like, look, man, y'all niggas need to chill. Like, too many Caleb shits 2 weeks in was, like, crazy to me. Like, you gotta let it play out, bro. And they didn't let it play out. Now they got egg on their face. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's just gonna get better from here, man. Any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up?
Man, I'm thankful for
the fans. Folks,
the fans of our podcast, our company, who paid, literally paid the way.
Literally, we would not be here if it wasn't for y'all. Like, not even a joke. It's, well, we love our fans. No, literally.
Right.
We would not be here without y'all.
And that's why when I'm on the timeline, I try to interact with everybody. You know, say thank you. Retweet a tweet. Ask what your opinion is. Because I can't speak for every other brand, but we just don't do things to do things. I actually care about what you have to say. I care about your input.
Well, I cuss a lot of y'all out, but I do it out of love.
I care about your input, and yeah, man, it's been a really awesome time. I'm so thankful for my time in London, but I'm ready to go back to Chicago.
I'm ready to go back to the stateside. I'm ready to have food with grease in it. I'm ready to have food that's gonna cut my lifespan by like 15 years.
I will say though, it's the best chip city in the world.
Hey, I got the
fries are unmatched.
Hey, dog,
every restaurant has had great fries.
Every restaurant I went to, the fry, I'm gonna call them chips out of respect.
Yeah,
10 out of 10.
The chips are always good.
Always good. Shout out to the chips and Nando's. What was the fist of chips probably went to? I forgot the name of it.
I forgot.
And I don't know. I forgot. I don't even know the area we was in. But shout out to them niggas. Felt like we was looking for Junetown. But every spot I went to, the chips were amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was good. And, like, as far as for the food, I really wasn't disappointed. Like, the food at the game was trash.
Oh, my God.
The food at the game was god-awful. I don't know what the fuck.
I don't know if they're not pretty. I think it's probably because there's so much media for an international NFL game.
Yeah.
They just don't have the capacity for it.
Bro, but in an NFL nuggets, game, bro.
It's all buffet.
Yeah.
You can get as much as you want. This one, they gave you 5 chips, 2 chicken tenders.
Yeah.
And a small little piece of like this chocolate coffee cake.
The chocolate
cake.
Thing was good.
It was fire.
But I wanted a couple more.
That was very odd.
My favorite media food city is Atlanta. If I covered the Atlanta Falcons, I'd be 50 more pounds heavier than I am right now. It was incredible, bro.
I want to say
remember they gave us a Chick-fil-A sandwich. Chick-fil-A wasn't even open in the fucking
right.
We had chicken greens, but like you can tell black people made it.
Right.
They had the vanilla pudding.
Right.
They had a glizzy bar, my nigga. They had a nacho bar.
Right.
They had ice cream. Them niggas had everything, bro. They had fucking gummy bears, bro, that you could put on your ice cream.
Right.
Nigga, I grabbed a to-go plate.
Right.
Shout out to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
I can't believe that I drove 12 hours. Never again.
No, the funniest part when we were driving, we kept getting closer and closer to the South, and you were shocked. I'm like, yeah, nigga. We in the South, nigga. But
I would drive if it was 4 of us.
Big shout out to all of our fans, man.
Right.
We couldn't do this shit without literally.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't donate the money y'all donated during training camp, our asses would have been in Chicago.
Right.
So we appreciate y'all, man. So
definitely. I can tell Scott is exhausted.
Yeah, I'm tired.
He's tired. We have a flight. We have to leave here at 5 a.m. So it's 6 hours. Five hours and 50 minutes from now.
Yeah. I'm staying up. I'm not going to sleep.
I'm going to stay up, and I pray. I'm so tired. I get on that plane, and I just...
The second flight.
And please. I just pass out sleepy.
Yeah.
And I look up, maybe 4 or 5 hours of that flight is gone.
Yeah, because...
And then I can just...
It says 8 hours and 45 minutes for the second flight, but it's probably going to be like 8:15.
Well, I mean, the flight for us told us 7 hours and 30.
But that was a... Like late as fucking night though.
But it said 7 hours and 30, and that flight was an hour and a half less than that.
Well, I hope it is.
I realize now that 8:45 is not the time in flight. It's everything. It's getting there.
Oh no, that's true. That's right. That's right.
It's getting
that's
there. Right, getting right. The bags in there. Getting prepared. Getting fuel. Taxiing. Taking off.
I didn't think about that.
And then landing, and then sitting there and waiting. So in reality, it's probably an 8-hour flight.
I am looking forward to smelling Chicago air.
Oh, man.
And when the season is over, I'm looking forward to smelling that smog-infested Los Angeles here, which I haven't smelled since August. So, I'm looking forward to that. But shout out to all y'all who got us here, man. And shout out to London. Shout out to London.
Shout out to
shout out to niggas and Nando's who remembered us today because we came there a couple days ago.
I think
great service.
If I look up in maybe like 2-3 years from now, they're back. I'll come again.
Oh, nigga, I'm coming out here. I might even come out here for like a non-Bears game.
Right. But if they do it again, I'm definitely coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking way more money than I had before.
Shout out to the Brits. I didn't have any bad experience with them.
And I think
they're nice people.
I think I'd stay one more day extra just because the day of the game, the day of the flight, those are gone. Those are not actual days we're going to leave in. And we're going to have one day of practice, which is probably gone. And we'll be tired, exhausted. It's probably the first day we get there. That day is also not as fun. So if I have three good days, like if we left Tuesday, got here Wednesday, went to the Wednesday practice, but took Thursday, Friday, Saturday to be tourists, I think I would have an even better time.
I think we kind of pretty much did all the tour shit we could do.
Not for me.
You just wanted to go to the countryside.
I want to go to the countryside. I want to go to that Richmond bar. I want to go to the museum. I wanted to go to, there's a torture museum or some shit here.
A torture museum is crazy.
That I wanted to see.
I definitely did want to go to Richmond, but I was just tired, nigga. Like, it's just,
you should see this nigga Scott now. He is exhausted. I am wide awake.
My legs hurt like a bitch. I'm going to watch highlights, watch football, and upload this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold you. We'll be on tomorrow. I will not be on the show.
Right.
But Bang and Courtney and Mike will be holding it down. Me and Dante will not be on the show because Dante is somewhere with Pat Vito right now enjoying these London streets. So he will not be on the show as well. But me and Courtney, Mikey, and Bang will be holding it down with y'all tomorrow.
Indeed. We will catch you all another time after, I don't know, was it the week?
After the bye week.
After bye week. So no midweek pod.
No midweek pod.
Beautiful. I can enjoy this week. I can watch football on Saturday and watch the Ohio State beat up on somebody, trash. And then after that, I can watch NFL football on Sunday, relaxing. Oh, we play Nebraska. We're going to beat up Fat Trick Mahomes. And then we play Penn State, who we're going to always smoke. Then we play Purdue. Then we play Northwestern, Indiana, which is going to be the toughest game on the schedule. For some reason, Indiana's good. And then we're going to smack Michigan. And then, as long as we beat Michigan.
I'm looking forward to that Michigan game.
I don't know why. We're going to beat the whole
thing. Because I just want to see what y'all, because you've been very confident about that game.
Once they lost that senior class that was very good because they won a national
championship. That's why you're very confident. It gives me Bears thinking Aaron Rodgers is going by.
Oh, the rivalry is about to get fully renewed because Ohio State dominated them for, what, 13-something years.
Yeah.
Before that, I think Michigan had won three in a row. And then before that, it kind of went back and forth. Overall, I think Ohio State all-time owns the record. But it had been back and forth before that long Urban Meyer beating the holy hell out of you.
Papa John's.
Beating Papa John's. The record is, Michigan leads 60-51. However, Ohio State has been more dominant with a 8-3 record since 2012. And so Michigan went out to a 12-game streak the first 12 times they met, and they kind of kept that lead since it's been all back and forth. But I say all that to say I can watch college football on Saturday and relax. I can watch NFL football on Sunday and relax. We won't be there for the next two games after that unless I win a parlay and I just say, hell, I'm going. So, we will catch you all after the bye week. Enjoy. It's Victory Monday tomorrow. Enjoy your time. Enjoy the rest of the games.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll catch y'all then.
Yes, sir.